All right, Pastor,
it's all yours.
As it's my turn.
Well, we got music. I got music, actually, last night. We missed a part of the verse, but that's all right.
Oh. Before we pray tonight, I just want to share a couple things with you. Doug and Nancy was in here with Nancy's sister today, and stuffing some things and passing out gifts and everything. But Nancy's going to have some tests done tomorrow. She had some tests done, I think, yesterday or today. She'd been having some health issues and wasn't really sure what it was. Thought it was her heart. And Doug said, no, the doctor today said her heart was fine. So, and we know she's got a big heart. But they're going to do some tests tomorrow on her esophagus in Dayton. So, want to keep her in our prayers. And was actually talking to Doug. He and I were standing in the kitchen, and he was talking about people that come into dialysis. And he said, "There's a guy down there with part of his leg gone," and you know. And he said, "I think I come in here and." You know, I get flushed out. And he said, I can get up and walk out and get in my car and drive home. And he said, there's just a lot of people can't do that. And he's absolutely right, you know. And he talked about the power of prayer. He said, not only, you know, in this church, because he said, I see it here. But he said, just the power of prayer in general. And that's encouraging to hear. Saturday, 2 to 5, we're going to have a celebration of life here for a young man that lost his life. And this is tough for me. I visited him at the Butler County Jail. And visited him at the River City Correctional Center. And don't know what the real outcome of the autopsy is, but according to his mother, he lost his life to heroin. He was doing so well. But when that gets a hold of you, it's just tough to pray. And so it's going to be 2 to 5 Saturday, and so she asked me if I'd say something, and I will. And I've talked to her a couple times, and talked to Mike, his dad, and it's difficult. But I'll say one thing for her: she has made up her mind that she's going to fight. Anyway, keep that family in mind, if you would. I'm sorry, Aaron Perry. Mm-hmm. Actually, lived here in Ross. And she had put lots of things on Facebook, but apparently he was big in the band, and she said, just tell me today. He wasn't that big when I saw him, but looking at some of the pictures, he was heavier than what he was when I saw him, and the several times I'd seen him. But she said he played a flute, and she said I asked him, she said, why do you want to play a flute? And he said, I don't want to carry around one of those big instruments. So, there's reasons that we all do things. I'm sorry, 26. So, she'd shared a lot of other things with me several times when I'd talked to her before, and some of the issues that have went on and the family and things. So, Michael and Colleen Perry. Colleen's been here a couple times. Mike's been here once. I can't remember when it was, but Mike also had open heart surgery a couple months ago when he was up in Boston taking care of his mother. And Colleen went up to, be with him when they found out about the heart surgery, and she fell, and she got a boot on her foot now. So it's just been tough. Let's face it. So, but she said Saturday, she says, she said, will you say a few things, but I want you to pray. And I want us to pray and just, keep them in mind. So anything else that comes to your mind, Amazing. Todd? That's right. What a great job they did Sunday. Well, there wasn't one person that walked out of here that told me they didn't enjoy the service. So, that was my next question. Shelley. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your goodness and for your love for us and your care for us. And Lord, cancer to us is a big thing. To you, it's a touch of your hand. Or it's a word spoken to the Father. And so, Lord, we lift up Dale. We lift up Shelley. And, Lord, we pray for that touch of Jesus in their lives. And that continued touch. And Lord, we just ask now in the name of Jesus that you bring healing and restoration and resurrection to those ravaged bodies. We just ask you to do that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're going to thank you for that. And thank you for those touches and that healing in those lives, Lord. We're so thankful, Father, for Ray sharing about the little baby, John and Kim. And we just, Father, ask you to continue to touch the infant, touch the baby. Touch that life, Lord, that you brought together and you brought life into. Lord, we're so thankful. We just give you praise for that. And Lord, as Nancy goes through these tests tomorrow, it's our prayer and our belief that the doctors will find nothing wrong with her because you touched her tonight. And you healed that esophagus. And Lord, continue to be with Doug and bless him. Help him, Lord, as he deals with the diabetes and things that he thinks about with Nancy. Lord, I'm thankful for his faith and the confidence that he has in prayer. Lord, I give you thanks for your presence of your Spirit in our worship services. How we need that. Because that's what breaks barriers, and that's what brings freedom and brings relief. You're who touches lives. You touch lives through us, Lord. And I'm thankful that you have brought me here and brought us together to pray and to believe that what you said you would do. So, Lord, as we continue this service tonight, we ask that you watch over us, Lord. Everything that we do, we want to do to honor you. It's all about you. Everything that we do, we want to do it to honor you. So, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings in our life. Thank you, Father, for touching our lives, touching those people that we touch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a little bit different service tonight, but because I'm going to go over what we're going to share with you, the story of Clopper. But I did want to read a portion of the Isaiah chapter 9, because I think it's important that we share some scripture. I think it's prophecy. About the coming of Jesus. It's Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "Nonetheless, those who were in distress won't be exhausted. At an earlier time, God cursed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But later he glorified the way of the sea, the far side of the Jordan, and the Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in pitch dark land, light has dawned. You have made the nation great. You have increased its joy. They rejoiced before you as with joy at the harvest, as those who divide plunder rejoice. As on the day of Midian, you shattered the yoke that burdened them, the staff on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor. Because every boot of the thundering warriors and every garment rolled in blood will be burned, fuel for the fire." And he goes from that to say, "A child is born, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulder. He will be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be a vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. The zeal of the Lord of heavenly forces will do this." And when Isaiah wrote that, I'm sure he looked and thought and was wondered, man, could this ever really happen? You know, because what had happened about that time was the appointment of King Hezekiah, who was one of the better kings that Israel had. And, you know, they thought that maybe he might be the Savior. And when Isaiah wrote that, the Old Testament times, and said, "Unto us a son will be given." And yet, the New Testament times, in the times before Jesus, they had that. And yet Herod and all the rest of people sitting around and standing around and talking were looking for a Messiah, never believing that it would be a baby born in a manger. So it's just interesting to me, and I want to share a couple things with you tonight about the Operation Magi. I mentioned to you earlier today. It's been a good day, and it really has. I had an opportunity to speak today to the High 12 Club, where several people attend here. It's a Masonic club, but had an opportunity to speak there, and had a good time. I enjoyed it. I hope everybody else did. If they didn't, they didn't tell me. So, you know, that's always a good sign. But it was a good time, and then come out here, and they had four families come out and pick up their, in fact, we have scheduled all of them to pick up their Operation Magi gifts. And I was trying to nail Nancy down today on just how much stuff was there. And there was 55 people that we counted, and I guess you can do the math. If everybody got, you know, six gifts and then a blanket and I don't know what it were, four gifts. But then everybody got a blanket and everybody got a stocking, and so it was huge. It was huge. But I'll share a little bit about the four families that came in. The first lady came in with her mother and her father, and we were talking. They live up here in Skyview, Trailer Court. And she said, it's been really tough. And I said, well, you know, tell me a little bit about it. And, you know, and she said, well, she said the manager had left and had turned it over to her daughter. And several people always paid their rent in cash. But unfortunately, their rent never made it to the corporate office. And she said it went on for, you know, several months. Now, I don't know how much their, you know, rent was, and I didn't ask. But she said it's been extremely difficult. And she said, you don't realize how much this is going to help us. Her mother had something wrong with her hands. Her father was with her, and he's on disability, been on disability for 3 years. And you look at it, it's a mother, a father, and four children that are trying to, you know, to make it. But, and she said, and I'll be honest with you, all four of the family said, something to the effect that we can't believe there's this much. Well, that's just the way we do it. Second family was, this was an interesting guy. He came in, he was about as tall as Doug. He was taller than I was. And here again, it's a mother and father and four children. One of the children is autism. And, you know, and in talking to him, he said, I've been here before. He said, we got married here. And he said, 15 years ago, we got married here. He said, it was the first couple that ever got married. And he said, we talked to Grant, and, you know, and we come down and talk to him, and he said, yeah, we'll, you know, I'll do the service and everything. And I said, well, how would you like to be the first couple that has your vows renewed here? He said, you know, I said something to my wife about that at 10 years. He said things were a little difficult and times were a little troubled. And he said, I said, well, you know, give it some thought. And so anyway, he walked out. And we were talking to him, and I was talking to him. I told him, I said, you know, after the first year, I said, I'm going to call you. You and I and your wife and your kids are going to go to dinner. And he said, nobody's ever taken me to dinner. I thought, good grief. You know, amazing. A guy, and I told him, I said, where do you go to church now? He said, well, we don't. He said, it's a little hard to get the kids up. I said, well, let me tell you something. Tell you the same thing I told my son, and I've shared this with you all before, that I told him. I said, you need 3 feet. You're two and one of mine up your butt. And I said, Dad, that's what you need to do. He said, I know. You know, you can talk to people. Well, Maybe not everybody can, but I think, you know, I think most of us can. Next one come in, mom and dad, four kids, and, well, actually he's got a son in Florida that's 29, and I said, you got too much gray hair to have a four-year-old, 4, 6, 13, and 14, and this guy's disabled, he's got scoliosis. You know, and I think, and you know, and I, and my mind went back to what Doug said. Wow. And I asked him, where do you go to church? Well, and I said, you don't. No. And he, you know, they live close. Cincinnati, Brookville Road's pretty close. And the last person that came in, mother and father and three kids. And she had just moved here. Actually, the third couple had just moved here because of family issues and some loss in their family. So, you know, that's why they've moved here. So, you know, I can't give you too many more details other than that. But just pray for these, because we've got the rest of them coming in tomorrow. And they're going to get the same talk. I don't feel apologetic about it. We're here for a purpose. God's called us here for a reason. And we might as well, you know, I'm going to make mothers and fathers accountable. I'm accountable to you. We're accountable to each other. So why not? I just think that's the way it ought to be. There's just no reason why people get up and do something. I guess nothing shocks me anymore, but it's interesting that we have a society that is so acceptable to everything that it's just kind of amazing. Let's see. My desktop. So we're going to talk a little bit about Clopper, and if you hope you like this. It's kind of a perspective, but it's a different look on the birth of Jesus. And okay, where is it? Here we go. I last year we did the interview with Mary. And today I spoke at the High 12 Club, and it was Christmas through my eyes, starting about age 1 to 10, and then we went 10 to 20. And so anyway, this is adapted from a book that Sharon loaned me called Clopper the Christmas Donkey. As you all know, we've heard the Christmas story from Matthew and from Luke. And they have a wonderful way of telling the story. But it's not firsthand. You see, I was there. My name is Clopper. I don't know why I feel so emotional tonight. What's that? My name is Clopper. You may not know me just by my name, but that's what all my friends and family call me. I'm a donkey by birth, and I have a story I want to share with you. So sit back and listen to what I saw. This is what I saw through my eyes. I really did. It was quite a night. You see, my day began early after getting up from my warm bed of straw in the barn. I was getting ready to munch on my breakfast of hay and sweetgrass. There was a great deal of talk behind me. I heard someone. It was Joseph in the background saying, "We have to go to Bethlehem." I heard him say something about a census, whatever that is. But they had to be accounted for. The government wanted it. No one ever took a census on a donkey. That's the last thing I wanted to do today, is make a long journey to somewhere I had never been before. I liked it around here, eating and sleeping. I like my comfort zone. I wanted a quiet day alone. No one needed to mess it up. So as I looked up and saw my master Joseph coming with my bridle and some sacks of supplies for our journey, I thought my day of relaxation was over. For all of us, it was about to be an adventure, which I found out about later on. I then found out that Mary was going along. I thought at first it was only Joseph and me. What a surprise. But Mary, she was my favorite. Joseph helped Mary up on my back, and I immediately noticed she felt heavier than other times she was on my back. Mary would take me to market with her, where she'd give me carrots. She was a kind gentlewoman, always showing me special attention. These roads were so much steeper than the roads around Nazareth. In fact, they seemed so steep and rocky that I really enjoyed the time when we were in the cool green valleys. Joseph even let me eat some of the green grass as we stopped for breaks along the way. I had never seen so many quiet villages and busy towns. There were just so many of them. What an adventure. It was not quite a quiet day for me. After all, the trip was long. MapQuest said 97.9 miles. That's a long way carrying sacks and a woman on your back. We finally arrived in Bethlehem, and I was glad. There was a lot of other people and a lot of other donkeys also. As I listened, I heard these people had all come from far-off distances for the same reason, the census, which I still wasn't certain what that was about. There were children running around, mamas yelling at them. Not a quiet time for me. Then I saw a bunch of people hugging each other, laughing and patting each other on the back, the way you do around here at Ross Community Church. It was a friendly bunch of people for sure. I heard Mary say, "Look at all the people around here." Then I heard Mary say, "Joseph, you need to find us a place to spend the night." Then my master said, "It might not be easy to find a room." Joseph walked along the streets and down the dusty paths, knocking on all the doors. But the rooms were full. He kept hearing the same thing over and over and over. It was getting colder, and all I could think about was the smell of cooking stew, and my legs ached up to my knees. Then I heard Joseph say to Mary, "I can see you're weary." But Mary, she always had a positive attitude. She was a positive person. She said, "The Lord will provide us a place to stay. I know He will. You know, Joseph, all that we've been through, He will take care of us." Finally, after all the door knocking and rejections, Joseph finally found a friendly innkeeper. He told him he didn't have any rooms, but they could stay in the stable. He said, "It's not much, but you both look tired. It'll be a place you can rest for the night." There were a couple of good things that came out of finding the stable. One was, I finally had those heavy sacks off my back, and Mary got off. Secondly, I saw some crunchy hay and fresh water for supper. I'd never seen Mary and Joseph sleep in the stable. They didn't even sleep in the stable when I was a young donkey. And as I finished supper, I looked over and saw Mary stretched out on a bed of straw. It was finally going to be a quiet night for me. All of a sudden, I heard a baby cry. And my quiet night was about to be interrupted. A baby born tonight. Now I understand why Mary was a little heavier than before. I clip-clopped over to the manger. You know, that's where the animals eat, and I saw him. I knew immediately he was special. As I was standing near him, I felt so peaceful. From the tip of my nose to the swish of my tail. Then all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph kissed his rosy red cheeks like they had kissed me before. But not like that. And then they started singing some of the most beautiful songs I had ever heard. After all, I was tired. It had been a long day. I fell asleep again for a quiet night of rest. When all of a sudden I heard more voices that jolted me awake. Someone dressed like a shepherd yelled out, "I found the Christ child." Then I saw three men running into the stable. The tall one and the short, chubby one bumped into each other. There was chaos all around me. "Maybe see him," asked one of them, to which Joseph said, "Of course, come on in." Then the short, chubby one said, "Shh," as he tiptoed to the manger. They dropped to their knees, and I've never seen anything like it before. They were quiet and still, just watching him. Then I heard the tall one say, "We were watching our sheep when an angel appeared and surrounded us with light. It was amazing." Then the short one said, "We shook in our sandals and we were scared. But the angel told us to calm down. He brought us great news." And that great news filled us with joy. It was quite a sight. No more quiet night for Clopper. Then I heard a short, chubby shepherd say, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son shall be given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There shall be no end to the increase of his government and of his peace. He shall rule on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." I'm not sure if you can believe what I saw, but I know I saw it. It was amazing. I can't speak for the shepherds and the other people, but I saw with my own eyes. Mary gave birth to the baby Jesus, the Savior of the world. It was quite a night, and nothing so exciting has ever happened again. Adapted from Clopper, The Christmas Donkey by Emily King. Thanks, Sharon. I hope that'll grab somebody. I don't know. I keep trying to be creative. Touch people's hearts. That's what it's all about. Tonight, as we prepare for communion, again, I'm not sure what the problem is. Think about this time of the year. And as I shared today, Christmas can be 365 days a year. It's not just December 25th or February when some people say that Jesus was born. It's February. But it can be 365 days a year, and I think it really should be, because I think that's what it meant and when he died on a cross for us. And after those 33 years and all the things that he went through and the people's lives that he touched, from that manger to the cross, he did it for us. That's really all he cared about. So I thought about, that again that night, and we talk about it when he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And I thought, who else would have done that for us? Our parents would have, and we'd do it for our children. And that's really what God is. He's our Father. He's someone that cares that much for us that He would die for all of us. I would have done anything for my son, but I'm not sure I'd have done anything for my neighbor's son. But Jesus did it. And that is an amazing thought. So, as we participate in communion tonight, it is my prayer and my hope that as you take the bread and as you take the juice, that we really realize and it comes down deep inside that it is His body broken. And it is His shed blood for us. And that's really why we have life. And that's really why we celebrate Christmas. For the reason that we celebrate Christmas. Jesus. Father, we thank You for this opportunity. This time to share the bread of life. Lord, bless this time tonight, this special time, when we have an opportunity to share this meal. But Father, we thank You. And we ask that You bless this time in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This Sunday we're going to talk about God is jealous. Pick up on it from last Thursday night. So anticipate having a pretty good crowd this week. So looking forward to it. Colleen did tell me she anticipated maybe 300 people Saturday come through here. That's a lot of people. So just keep that family in your prayers this week. And obviously the Operation Magi family. We're gonna have some families come back from that, and so we're pretty excited. Nancy and Doug and I talking to them today, so it's exciting times for us.